We do.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
Thank Amen. You. I'm not waiting to get eternal life. I got it already.
Amen.
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 Right. Now we've learned a little bit about compassion for people that get stuck in traffic. I told her, I said, have we ever been 11 minutes late before? And sometimes we're 20 miles out. 25, but man, I think the Super Bowl was on Petranco tonight. And I've been warned, but it's been going good all week, but tonight we got a little behind. And amen. All right, you ready? Guess that means yes.
He counts the stars one and all, knows how much sand is on the shore, sees every sparrow that falls. Made the mountains and the seas, he's in control of everything, of all creatures great and small, and he knows my name.
Every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry, and he knows my name. When overwhelmed by pain, can't see the light of day, I know I'll be just fine, 'cause he knows my name. Don't know what tomorrow will bring, I can't tell you what's in store, I don't know a lot of things, don't have all the answers to the questions of life, but I know whom I have believed, and he knows my name. Every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry, and he knows my name. When overwhelmed by the pain, can't see the light of day, I know I'll be just fine, 'cause he knows my name. Every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry, and he knows my name.
Amen.
I'm glad he knows my name tonight. I'm glad I don't have to worry about him ever saying, depart from me, I never knew ye. I knew his name long before I met him as Savior. Took in vain often. Not anymore.
Amen.
Not anymore. I'm glad to be saved. It's Friday night again. Brother Billy said there's no better place to be on a Friday night. Of course, Thursday or Wednesday or any night. I never stayed home when I was lost, so I was a pretty active fella. And I'm glad to getting saved. I don't have to live some boring Christian life. I probably wouldn't have been able to pull it off. I'm glad God put me in a crowd that likes to be doing something for God, whether it's a mission trip or a street corner or church service now and then. I'm glad to be in on something that's real.
Amen.
Amen. We're really glad you're here tonight. That's probably been already said. Pedro, good to see you again tonight. Been praying for you. And really glad to see you. This is a good step in your maturing as a child of God to get locked into coming to church. Good to see Trevor tonight. He's been working and amen. It's good to see all y'all. I just don't know y'all's name. take your Bible tonight. Go to Genesis chapter 18.
Amen.
Genesis chapter 18. I did come in and see Miss Debbie Kreitz sitting by herself, and it occurred to me that Lucas didn't make it back, but I turned and saw his head, you know, right above the little. Amen, amen. Luke chapter 18, I'm sorry, Genesis. It's all good, you know what I'm saying? Genesis tonight, chapter 18, verse 20. And the Bible says this, and the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, all sin's grievous.
Amen.
All sin's grievous to God.
Amen.
This says very grievous. Just a note. Verse 21, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come unto me. And if not, I will know. Amen. And Sodom and Gomorrah, that's where he's talking about, were ungodly places. You know, we're not doing History Month of all different types and, you know, and they do specials delving into the, you know, if they ever wanted to do, help me out with the alphabet, LGBTQ, MN, I don't know. That's where you could start it, right there. You could take it right back to the origins, right back to Sodom and Gomorrah.
Amen.
And it's worthy of note that the Bible makes mention of the fact that not only is it sin, but it's very grievous. Very grievous to God. Abraham's nephew, Lot, had moved there. And he had gotten away from the most spiritual influence in his life. He had a good start. And but he got away from Abraham, Uncle Abraham. And Lot should have been an enemy of Sodom, not a resident. But instead he went there. He moved there and he prospered there. And he justified going against everything he knew to be right into the day for money. Again, it was a place that he knew he could do well, and he did. And in the end, of course, in the end, he paid a big price for that decision. And I got to say, I can think of more than a few Christians that I know that have done the same thing. They knew what was right. And they chose to get away from the spiritual influence in their life, and they're going to be the exception, and very few ever become the exception. Most just become illustrations, which is what happened to Lot. Uncle Abraham is, in this verse, he's gone out on a limb, for Lot, and he had done so several times prior to this. And one might ask, did Lot appreciate it? And I would say that probably so. Probably every time. He appreciated it at the time. But then, you know, after a little while, he'd just go right back to the same thing. And it's a crying shame, but an indictment against humanity that God's people, who he's been so good to, are oftentimes just like that. They appreciate the goodness of God for a while, but then they go back to the same places, Amen. To the same influences, to the same activities, to the same places. And I don't know who coined this, but isn't it true? The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result.
Amen.
And it doesn't happen that way. Amen. So, take your Bible now, here's why, 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 22. Now we got a couple more verses in Genesis 18, so if you lost your place, too bad. You're gonna have to go there again. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2 is an interesting verse. It says, but it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. And that's the way it is, and that's human nature. We get cleaned up and go right back to the same old thing time after time. I like that verse because I don't know what the NIV or any of the other ones say, but I know this. If you started calling people dogs and sows, social media would melt down. Amen. I guess. Mine wouldn't because I don't have it. Amen. But so back to Genesis 18. I just like that verse. So I stuck it in there. Hope you liked it too. Verse 24. Genesis 18 and verse 24, the Bible says, peradventure. And okay, God bargaining with Abraham, bargaining with the Lord over sparing Sodom for Lot's sake. And there's a lot of stuff. I'm going to cut to it. Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Will thou also destroy and not prepare the place for 50 righteous that are therein? And you read through the verses up through 31 and you find out they went from 50 to 45 and then 40, 30, 20 and 10. And Abraham stopped too soon because there wasn't 10 righteous there. He thought surely Lot having been raised right, surely would at least have his own family in, but he didn't. Amen. And they didn't have 10 righteous. And it says in verse 32, this is Abraham talking. And he said, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak but this once, peradventure 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. So I already said what I was going to say about that. I stopped too soon. Verse 25 said this. Now here's Abraham saying this. That'd be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That'd be far from thee. There's Abraham talking to the Lord. He says this, shall not the judge of all the earth, and that's who he is, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Of course, the answer is real simple. The answer is yes. Every time, every situation, every scenario, the Lord God, the judge of all the earth, will do right. If God never does wrong, and he doesn't, good place for an amen.
Amen.
And if we're, according to Titus chapter 2, supposed to pursue holiness and godliness, amen, and we are, amen, then we should do right too. Amen. We should do right. Well, we should make that our goal. Amen. Because the Lord does. All right. John chapter 1. Now we're done with Genesis 18, but we're headed to 2 Peter. But John chapter, we're talking about doing right tonight. That's your title, by the way. Do right. John chapter 1 verse 12, it says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So if you're saved here tonight, you are given some power. And just boil it down to a nutshell. You know what that power is for? That power is to do right.
Amen.
You can do right. It's not subjective. Amen. It's according to what God said. You've got a power within you, Holy Ghost power,
amen,
to do right. So I want to encourage you to do right. I want to preach on doing right. And we're going to, well, I won't tell you where we're going because it's time to pray. Father, again, we come to you in the magnificent name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for a good week. Thank you for those that are assembled here tonight. It's not lost on me the fact that a church full of people on a Friday night is really an incredible thing. And I pray that you bless everyone that's here tonight. Now, I don't know everybody's spiritual condition. There's some folks in here been saved a long, long time. There's some folks been in here tonight and ain't been saved very long at all. And I'm glad they're here too. And we got everything in between. We got young ones that need to be saved and pray that they will be when the time's right. And God, there might be an adult or a young person in here tonight that's never trusted you as their savior. And this would be a great night to do it.
Amen.
So Lord, there's so many needs. We could brainstorm all day long and never figure out how to meet all these needs, let alone at once. Like you can. So we submit the service to you and pray that God will give you the credit for anything that goes right. Help me to say something that will be according to thy will.
Amen.
That's what we're looking for. That's what we acknowledge we need. Amen. And we thank Jesus Christ for the privilege to even think like that. So I pray it in his name. Amen and amen. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1 tonight, in verse 1, it says this, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. I want to point something out. When Peter writes the first epistle in chapter 1 and verse 1, he opens this way, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now he's throwing out, he's leading with his title, he's establishing his credentials and his credibility, and he's got every right to, and the verse goes out and says, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, and so he's got the authority to do that, but it when you look at the second epistle, he begins it with his common name, Simon. Simon Peter, a servant. He's still an apostle and he still has all that authority, but he's matured some because humility is evidence of spiritual maturity. When you realize that it isn't all about you,
amen,
you're making progress.
Amen.
Amen. Verse 2, now in 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 2, and if you're confused, welcome to the crowd. I'll confuse myself for it. So. Amen. Verse 2 said, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Grace and peace are multiplied. I need all I can get. They're multiplied through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Matthew 11:29 says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. And the busier this world gets and the busier our lives get, rest is more precious than ever. And here you got a secret formula that was never meant to be a secret. We've had in English over 400 years. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. The more you learn about him, the more peace,
amen,
the more grace,
amen,
you have. It ain't deep. It isn't hard. It isn't mystical. It's biblical. Verse 3, it says, according to 2 Peter 1, it says, according as his divine power have given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, again, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. A lot of emphasis on the knowledge of him. We know here tonight, the knowledge of him, the knowledge that we have of him is because we have the Bible. The author of the Bible residing within us, and the two work together, and the Bible says out of the mouths of two or three witnesses, let a thing be established. Does it say that mouth?
It says that somewhere.
That, thank you. Amen. Air bump. I'm with you, bro. So you got the Spirit of God within the believer, you got a Bible in your hand, you got a preacher up here, that's three witnesses. And some can get established for God that isn't our opinion or what I think or what you think. You understand what I'm saying? It keeps going back to the knowledge of him. Second Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Amen. I just say, because of the emphasis on knowledge of God that comes from God's book, I thank God for putting me in a church early on. I said it this week. I didn't get there because of any spiritual quest. I mean, I came right out of a jail cell on Friday and in a King James Bible-believing church on Sunday. And I mean, the bread of life was opened and I was interested in learning more about why the Lord Jesus Christ would come down and do what he did. I had heard that as a kid. I had heard it all my life. My perspective is different now because at 37 years old, I know what I am.
Amen.
So it wasn't that Jesus came down from heaven, God manifested in the flesh, died on the cross to forgive sin. Now it's personal. And I want to learn more about anybody that would do something like that for me, because I was well aware, acutely aware, and that matter of fact hasn't changed in 32 years. I'm acutely aware that I wasn't worth it. If I can say this without offending anybody, you know, I know some Christians that are good businessmen. I mean, my pastor, he's a great businessman. And he can buy a piece of junk and make a buck and just, I mean, me, I just have a lot of junk because I just can't, it doesn't work. I can't fish. I can't sell anything. Amen. And, but God evidently is not a really good businessman. And when I say that, here's what I mean. He did not get a good deal when he got me.
Amen. Amen.
Now, you might be of the opinion that he got a really good deal when he got you, but you've been wrong before, and you're wrong about that.
Amen.
We're the ones that got in on it, boy. Oh, my, we got in on something. I mean, the longer I read this Bible, the more I hang out with men of God that have been at this, and ladies, too, that have been at this longer than me, and the more I learn, talking about the knowledge of him tonight, the more I realize what I got in on. Maybe that's what keeps it from getting old and stale, because it isn't old. It's more exciting than ever.
Amen.
Amen? It isn't because of anything we drum up. It's just coming to the a better understanding of the knowledge of him because of this incredible Bible. And I thank God for putting me in a church that taught me that it's inspired, taught me that it's inerrant. And I tell that to say this, maybe you should thank God more for it than you do. Because take my word for it. I'm not going to be the guy that says, you know, take a next Sunday off and go to visit other churches and you'll start to appreciate what you got. I'm not going to ever say that. But you should be able to take my word for it by now after traveling the roads all these years. Churches like this, churches that believe that book, churches that take seriously the Great Commission and try to reach others with the gospel of Christ, they're not on every corner. And I've been in places where there's churches on three out of the four corners. I can't think of a town in the South, in the over the Bible Belt, that there's a church on all four corners. I thought there was one going up, but it ended up being a Walgreens. So I don't know who's in competition for the corners, the drugstores or the churches. But I've watched people get crossways over nothing.
Right. Right.
And just take their family and go to a church, and they're still in church, and they're still saved if they're saved, but they leave that book behind, and they talk about sacrificing your children.
Yeah.
Amen, to the world.
Amen.
And I just, I am real thankful of where God put me, and you got every right to feel the same way about this church, and you should. Amen. Thank God for the Bible. This is not religious. This is not a religious book. I don't have any problem with religious books. I have hundreds of them. Amen. I've got bookcases. We've got bookcases. I've got them and she's got them. And, of course, I inherited a bunch of mine and I bought a bunch. Amen. And I've got a magnificent library. I had a preacher at my house one time and he was looking at my, and he goes, wow, Brother Spurgeon, you've got quite a library. And I went, thank you, thank you, thank you. He said, have you read all these books? And I said, read them? I thought preachers just collected books. Got to collect something, amen. And, but I tell you what, I got one book I do read.
Amen.
And it isn't a religious book at all. Amen. Thank God for the Bible. Somebody said it like this. B-I-B-L-E stands for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. That's pretty good. That's pretty good right there. And it's important because everybody's leaving.
Yeah.
I witnessed to a gal downtown, 30 years ago, and one of the government, I don't know what I was down there for. Well, I mean, it wasn't the obvious thing, you know. It wasn't court. And I went to give her a track, and she has a security guard. And And I says, hey, can I give you something to read? Tell you where you're going when you die. She goes, no, I don't need that. I said, oh, you know where you're going to go? And here's what she said. Not here. Not here. Her mind was, there's a day going to come where she wasn't going to be working this job. And I said, well, you're right about that. This is not where you're going to go when you die. Amen. Amen. Everybody's going somewhere. Basic instructions before leaving Earth, it would be a good thing to grasp. Because everybody's leaving Earth.
Amen.
The Earth is temporary. It was always going to be temporary. It was intended to be temporary. It's part of God's plan. Amen. And there's, well, what are the other parts? Well, I hope you get a chance to find out. Because I think there's going to be a lot more to learn once we get to heaven.
Amen.
Amen. If you die and you're not saved, there's another part of his plan you don't want to know any more about. You need to get saved.
Amen.
Amen. Hell is not going to be fun.
Right.
Boy, was that like a ridiculous statement or what?
Amen.
Amen. Hell's going to be hell.
Amen.
There's hell to pay. You die without Jesus Christ. So, but it's temporary. Your time on earth is temporary. The Bible says in James 4:14, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. I mean the morrow. I got plans for tomorrow. Amen. Right, Stephen? Right? Hey, Audie. Right. Maybe. Lest we get in traffic and or die or something, you know. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanisheth it away.
Right.
We're all leaving. Matter of fact, Earth's leaving too. I mean, it says in 2 Peter 3:10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. That verse proves that global warming is scriptural. I know, we reject all those liberals. But I will say this, it isn't caused by SUV exhaust.
Yeah.
Or all them trucks you guys got. Or that hairspray, ladies. That ain't what's doing it. Amen. The earth's gonna burn up one of these days. It's temporary. That makes what we do here real important.
Right.
Amen, cause it ain't gonna last forever.
Amen.
Now, basic instruction before, where you go, when you go, is revealed only in this book.
Right.
Amen. And I'm real happy that there's only two choices. Amen. Lord made it simple. And my track record before I got saved was so bad that if eternal life was multiple choice with more than two choices, I'd have probably got it wrong. There's just two choices. Up or down. Turn or burn. Turn. Pick turn A. I want A. When Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no man cometh unto the Father, but by me, I thank God.
Amen.
For making it that simple and that clear.
Amen.
Amen. Lest I get it wrong. Amen. People get it wrong.
Amen.
Amen. And so Jesus Christ went to the cross to pay for your sin, and if you put your faith and trust in him for that, then you get to go to heaven when you leave earth, because you're leaving. But if you don't, well, then you're going to end up in a place called hell. I had somebody say, well, what, you guys talk about heaven all the time. What do I got to do to go to hell? And I said, nothing, you're doing fine. You keep going the way you're going. You keep doing it your way. You keep trusting in what you're trusting in. And you'll find out. You don't have to do nothing to go to hell. The Bible said in John 3, we're condemned already.
Amen.
Amen. Of course there is. I mean, we study religions a little bit in Bible Institute. And there's people that believe that you come back as an animal. Well, what if you come back as a mosquito? Wouldn't that be terrible? What if you come back as a cow? Beef, remember? You might end up a hamburger. Amen. That is the all-American. I have done a survey for 70 years, and the number one all-American meal I mean, it's a cheeseburger, I'm telling you. Amen. Right, Nick? Amen. He was going to amen. Amen. So, yeah. Verse 3, I'm going to read it again. It says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. The knowledge of him is paramount, but it says there in that verse that when you get saved, you are given all things. All things, everything you need to do right.
Yeah.
All things that pertain unto life and godliness. You are again. I mean, if forgiveness of sin wasn't enough,
amen.
If eternal life wasn't enough, you've been given more than that.
Amen.
Amen. And this thing, all things, that's here now. All things that pertain unto life and godliness is everything you and I need. Do it right in some, you know, mystical, I mean, we can do it. And I'm gonna make it real clear to you how I know. Verse 4 says this, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises.
Amen.
The King James Bible tonight is poetic. Isn't that beautiful? The wording, why would you want to change? Well, I know why the devil wants to change it. But isn't that exceeding? When we're talking about the Word of God tonight, and Peter refers to the Scripture as exceeding great and precious promises. And that's what they are. Amen. Ain't nobody running for no office. They make a lot of promises, but they're not exceeding great or precious. Amen. About 99.9% of the time, we don't even pay no attention to it. Every once in a while, somebody comes along and does what he says, and then they might as well assassinate him. They don't like that around here. Amen. I mean, on the planet. That's what I'm talking about. So, it says, the verse goes on and says that, okay, I'll read it all. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises that by these, those promises, ye might be partakers of the divine nature.
Amen.
Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And man, if you're saving your life, that's what you did. You escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So if you are saved, you don't have to be prey to that corruption anymore. And then I hear people say, well, I'm still a sinner. I can't help it. Well, you have a carnal nature. That's the battle, man. We have all Christians are bipolar. You think about it like that. Maybe, I don't know. And, so we still have a carnal nature. But because of the promises of God given us in this book, we have something else. We have abilities that we didn't have before. You have power, I keep saying that, you have power that you didn't have before. And real simple. That's the power. You've been given power because now you also have, according to verse 4, a divine nature. Now, you hear this a lot these days. DNA. DNA. I'm not sure if I even believe it's real or not. My wife laughed when I said, you know, but their DNA, if people are getting out of prison because they were falsely convicted, I'm all for that. If people are getting apprehended and put in prison for things, I'm all for that. I got no problem with that. It's just hard for me to, did I use the term yesterday? Wrap my brain around DNA. Do we have any nurses in here? All right, so if I slaughter this, don't laugh too hard. But I'm going to try to tell you what DNA, how many people know what DNA means? Not what it is, but what it stands for. Trevor, you do? Would you like for me to have you come up and recite it? You could do it. Come here, Trevor. Come here. And I've got it written down, so don't be bluffing. Okay, don't read it. Tell them. What's DNA stand for? All right, listen up, because he doesn't have a mic on. Speak up, son.
All right, it stands for deoxyribonucleic acid.
Is that what that says right there?
Yeah.
You're the only person in the history of the world that knows that. Isn't that sound fancy, though? Thank you, son. Thank you very much. That is what I have written down. And I mean, I've got it broken down by syllables because there ain't no way. You write that out at one time, that's Greek. Amen. But we're going to, by the common name, we're going to refer to it as... I'm still marveled at that. Hereditary material. That's a DNA. That's what you're born with. Amen. It's your chemical. It's your makeup. We're not going to have this discussion right now, Trevor. Okay. Your DNA is what you're made of. You can't change it. People try. Michael Jackson tried to change it. Michael Jackson was a black fella that decided he wanted to be a white fella. And he had multi-millions of dollars. And he never pulled it off. All the bleach in the world didn't do the job. Amen?
Amen.
All right, now there's a gal named Rachel Dolezal. I don't know if anybody ever heard of her, but she was the head of the NAACP in Seattle, Washington. And she's light-skinned black person, or so they tried to get people to believe. And she did her hair like a black person might do their hair. And she wanted to be a black person so bad till her mom and dad were on television and they were as white as David Kincaid. Amen. That's pretty white. And I go, this girl, but she wanted to be black, but listen, she wasn't white. You can't change it. Then there's Elizabeth Warren. She's from Massachusetts, and she wants to be an Indian so bad. President Trump called her Pocahontas, and why'd she get mad about it? That's what she wanted. What I'm saying is this. You got everybody's on edge now, right? I'm waiting for the big hook to come out. What I'm saying is this. What your DNA that you are born with, that's what you are. That's who you are. You can't change it. But when you get born again, you get new DNA. And I refer to it as divine nature. That's what verse 4 said. Divine nature. Abilities. When you get born in, born again, you have a DNA that will enable you to do what you really couldn't do very well before. And that's to do right. We have been given everything, this victim mentality. Listen, people that lean on this, well, I'm still a sinner. Let me remind you of something else. If you're saved here tonight, you are a child of the King. You are a child of the Most High God. And you've been given everything you need to act like it. I'm not talking about being sinless. We mess up that we have access to God to get that right. But don't you just rely on the fact that you've got a carnal nature that you're too lazy to fight against.
Right. Amen.
It doesn't have to win as often as it does.
Amen.
Cause you've got divine, you've got a divine nature.
Amen.
Amen. Somebody asked me one time, they said, Brother Spurgeon, have you ever sent whatever you send to ancestry.com? And I looked at that, and that's where you send a sample of your DNA, either a booger, you pick a booger, put it in a chest tube. Well, wouldn't that work?
It would work.
You heard it. Would it work, Trevor? Excuse me. Trevor. Trevor. And so you send a sample of your DNA to some website, and they're... Do you honestly believe the federal government doesn't have access to all that? How do you think all these people are getting out of prison?
There you go.
Now, for 40 years, let me see, no, 30 years, I've had to pray that some fingerprint didn't show up somewhere and that knock on a door would not be the Jehovah Witnesses. You think I'm going to send to my DA and now I got to worry about a hair falling? I had a lot of hair too. Hair falling out? Ain't no way, buddy. Ain't no way. Not this kid. Amen. Listen, if you're sitting here tonight, you need to do right. And I'm just trying to encourage you. You can. Amen. Yeah, and sometimes it's hard. And depending how far out there you were and how long you were out there, that flesh is going to fight. Amen. But it doesn't have to win. And sometimes it might, but it doesn't have to win as often. Not all the time, for sure. It doesn't have to win as often as it does.
Amen.
Amen. Yes. You can do right. You need to do right. This world needs to see that there's hope. I was thinking about that today. Be ready always to give, but sanctify your... Be ready always to give an answer to everyone that asketh you a reason of hope that lieth in you. How bad did I slaughter it? People have got to see something to ask you. Amen. They've got to see somebody that's going to just make up their mind. They're going to do right. And when we do wrong, make a mistake, then we own it. Own up to it. I don't like all the new phrases, but that thing, own it, I like that. That works. Yeah, just take the stinking blame. Get it right. I don't know why it's so hard to admit we make mistakes. We make a lot of mistakes. Amen. All right, verse. You guys are on edge now. You don't know what I'm going to say next. Verse 5. And beside all this, add to your faith virtue. Are you saved?
Amen.
You got saved by grace through faith.
Amen.
But that's not the end of the thing. That's the beginning.
Yeah.
And add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. And believe me, all that adding is a lifelong endeavor. Amen. You're going to work at that all your Christian life.
Amen.
But I'll tell you what, as far as I can tell, it is the most worthwhile endeavor you'll ever embark upon.
Amen.
Verse 8 says this, for if these things, we just read the list, be in you and abound, not just in you, but abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren, nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But I just want to remind you as I wrap this up, that these things can be in you. You've got a Bible in your hand. You got the Holy Spirit in there. You're saved. Your name's written in the book of life. He knows your name, but they can be in you and not abound. Verse 9 says, but he that lacketh these things is not saved. It says is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. That is dangerous ground. You forget that, you'll increase, and he'll decrease. Amen?
Amen.
Verse 10. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fall.
Amen.
How's that for an exceeding great and precious promise?
Amen.
I don't wake up wondering.
Right.
Amen. I wake up trying to do right. And I know what it's unacceptable to blow it and not take care of it.
Right. Amen.
Get back on the horse and do it again.
Amen.
Amos chapter 3, I'll just read it to you in verse 10. It says, for they know not to do right, saith the Lord, who store up violence and robbery in their palaces, the heathen. But they might not have known how to do right. But you do.
Amen.
And you've got the supernatural DNA.
Amen.
To enable you to do right. So it isn't a matter of knowing, it's a matter of doing.
And your flesh isn't interested in spiritual matters, and there's a spirit of God inside you that is more interested in spiritual matters than anything else, and the fight's on, and whoever you give the most attention to is the one that's going to get the most victories. So I want to give you something to think about. Abraham asked the Lord, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And if you're a child of God, that should be your goal too. And if you haven't been, time to start.
Amen.
It's time to start. Time to ask God to help you. Because you need His help. The ones here that have got a pretty good track record, it's because they found out where their help comes from.
Amen.
Early on. This thing isn't automatic for anybody. But God will help you do right. He wants you to do right. It was His idea.
Amen.
Amen. So, child of God, you've been given something to think about. And I pray you do something with it.
Amen.
I mean this night. Think about it. Pray about it. Act on it as necessary. If you're in here and you're not a child of God, we're glad you're here on a Friday night. You've been invited. You might be a great person and, you know, maybe a member of some other church somewhere. And you've came out because it's a no conflict with your life, your schedule. But I'm going to tell you, I don't know what they're telling you where you go. But if you die before you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, plus nothing, minus nothing, that book says you're going to hell. Now, that ain't my idea. That ain't my opinion. But that's what the Bible says. And you can do something about that. And you need to do something about that. And the Bible says you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
Amen.
And I don't have a goal of offending anybody ever, but I'd sure rather run the risk of telling you you're on your way to hell than to see you kicked off into a lake of fire and knowing I had an opportunity to say something and didn't. I don't want to live for eternity knowing that I'm part of the problem. I want to we're supposed to be part of the solution. Somebody took that seriously in your life.
Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Somebody preached to you or prayed for you. Amen?
Amen.
Well, it's our turn. It's our turn to do right. We're not over yet. The work's not over. The party has not started. We need to do right. And we can. Let's pray. Father, thank you for grace. Pray and ask you to take something that was said and may it, work on somebody's heart, whoever needed it the most. I needed it. Just studying it reminded me of some things. And Lord, I dropped the ball too often. Not as much as I used to, but more than I should, considering.
Amen.
And I know you forgive me for that. I pray and ask that you would. I know you do because the Bible says you do.
Amen.
But help me be a better example. Help those of us that have been at it a little while be a better example. And help these younger just understand that there is victory. The Bible says, thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is victory. And it's possible for us to do right. And the crazier the world gets, truthfully, the easier it ought to get for us. And but sometimes we let our flesh lead, and that's a recipe for disaster every time. Even with the best of intentions, we can do the right thing for the wrong reason. Help us to do the right thing for the right reason. Bring honor and glory to the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I pray now as a preacher comes and he'll say, it's easy to get saved and we're here to help you get saved. And if somebody needs to get saved, I pray that they'd let us open a Bible and show them how easy it is. May you be pleased with everything that's gone on. May you be pleased with what we do with what's been said. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Right.
Praise God.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
I'm going to sing in a moment, number 235. We're going to sing it deliberately, carefully, and paying attention. But I want to just bring out something. If you're not saved here tonight, I want you to know we're not trying to get you to just pray a prayer and then go back to the way you've always been. Jesus is not looking for people to say the magic words. Jesus is looking for somebody to make a decision that they want to give their life to Jesus. They want to give their life to Him. Because you've made a mess of your life. And you need help. You need a Savior. You need someone that can forgive your sins. And if you're ready to do that, if you want to be saved, if you want to turn your life over to Jesus Christ, you can do that. You can just make the decision. You can say, I want to be saved. And He'll save you right now. Amen. It's not a matter of going through a whole lot of things that you got to do to hopefully someday be better. That's not what it is. It's a transformation that happens when you get serious with God and say, I want to be saved. And you put your hope and trust in the name of Jesus Christ for your forgiveness. When you do that, He saves you. He gives you His Holy Spirit. He reconciles you with God. He gives you an eternal destiny in heaven. He prepares a mansion for you. And He says He wants you to be with Him where He is. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. That's the promise that Jesus Christ gives you if you're not saved and you want to be. And if you want to be saved, you need to talk to one of us. You need to come forward and talk to us. And when we're singing this song, or you need to talk to us before you leave this building, you need to find out what the Bible says. Because if you can take your finger and point to a verse in the Bible and say, God, you said, amen, and then you believe that, you'll be saved.
Amen.
Because it's by faith. There's something else I want to say, though. Jesus said, whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. And I just want to point out that he says, do it before men.
Amen.
Now, I don't know if you think that your Christianity is a very private thing, but Jesus doesn't think of it that way.
That's right.
He says, you do it in front of people. You need to wear your faith on your sleeve. In other words, it's got to be something that people know about.
Yeah.
And yet, we want to be all private. We want to be, and we're all so afraid of being embarrassed. I don't know what's the deal, but if you want to get something right, you need to start by being full-hearted and get it right.
Amen.
Don't be half-hearted in this thing.
Amen.
You got something wrong, he says, do right. Have you been doing right? Because if you haven't been doing right, you need to get it right.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, when Peter denied Jesus at his lowest point, he denied him three times. And then he wept bitterly. But Jesus had forgiven him already.
Yes.
Thank you. Amen.
He said, when you're converted, strengthen the brethren. He had already told him it was going to be okay, already forgiven. But then they were at the Sea of Galilee, and he was there with James and John and Nathaniel and Thomas and a couple others. And Jesus said, Simon Peter, lovest thou me?
Yes.
Why did he do that? Because Peter denied him in front of people. And he needed to confess it in front of people.
Amen.
Now, I don't know what your situation is, but I think you're misunderstanding the idea that God has. He's saying, I want you to get things right.
Yeah.
I want you to stop being so half-hearted in your repentance. I want you to put it all out there. And if you're so embarrassed that you can't walk an aisle, you can't pray in front of other people admitting that you have also needed the messages. And by the way, I asked you at the start of this meeting, I said, have you been touched by the preaching so far? And I'll bet you every single person in here said yes. Amen. Broken hearted, needing help, amen, getting things right.
Yes.
But almost nobody has gone forward to say, God, I need help. And I don't know how your Christianity works, but I think you need to make some things right and do it with a full heart.
Amen.
And if you need to walk down here and get something right with God, do not put that off. And don't let embarrassment or any other thing cause a hindrance or a hesitation on your part. You got to get something right. You get it right. Let's stand and let's sing number 235. And you think about these words. And if you've got something you need to get right, you come on forward and get it right.
My humble cry.
Bless us.